What do we hear when we hear the words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." My question, always hearing these things, is, well, is it true? It seems to me there might be three basic interpretations of this gospel. And I guess the baseline, though, we come from is we all have life experiences. We know we are followers of Christ. We come experience the sacraments at church. And we know that that doesn't get rid of all the troubles of our life. That doesn't immediately relieve our troubles and our burdens, our difficulties. So how is this gospel true? Well, there's, as I said, three possible interpretations people might take. One, that it's a really nice, comforting thought, that it's a sentimental metaphor, that Jesus has my back, that he is my friend, that he is there for me. That sometimes when I pray, I feel good, and Jesus shows me his rest at those times. Another possible interpretation is that life is really tough, and we just got to persevere, and then at the end, God will give us his rest in heaven. And a third possible interpretation would be that Jesus actually means it. That Jesus' invitation, "Come to me, take my yoke, the burden will be light," that he actually means that. He means that for the here and now. It's true. Well, if it is that first interpretation, if this is just a nice sentimental metaphor that helps us, you know, have a nice thought when we deal with difficulties, Jesus isn't much of a God. That's pretty much a sham. If he's just going to give us some nice thoughts to put in our head, to just power through and, you know, have nice thoughts to get through difficult times. It's like we hear a song, you know, like a song that gets us really pumped up, excited about life or going to do whatever we're going to do. But then like 2 minutes later, the excitement goes away because the song didn't really give you anything other than like kind of an emotional boost. So if that is the case, then it's a sham. But what if it's a second? The life is tough and we just have to persevere. Well, that's not good enough either. Why would God give us life? Why would he create all of this and just say, like, tough it out, and then I'll give you a nice reward at the end? And what if it's that third option? What if it's true? What if it's true for right now? What if God really means, if Jesus really means, that if we take up his yoke, our life, our burdens become light? How can that be? Because I have a lot of sufferings. We experience a lot of difficulties in our lives. Well, we start first by looking at the part that preceded it, the first part of our gospel today. Jesus looks up to the Father, to God. He looks up and he praises God. Even though he's been just rejected, he praises God. And he shows this joy, this the joy that the relationship with God, this intimate, deep relationship with God, he shows the joy it gives him. He rejoices in it and he gives praise to God. "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will." He has this deep relationship with God because we know he is God's son. He is divine. He is the second divine person. And then we think of the yoke. So Jesus proposes a yoke to us. Often, the yoke, we think of the yoke put on oxen. You know, it's strapped around their shoulders and they pull the yoke to pull a plow or do some work. And it's often tandem. There's often two. So Jesus is bringing his divinity, his life with God, and he brings it down and he yokes himself. He binds himself to humanity. He comes down. He didn't have to, but he comes down and he binds himself in his humanity to this yoke. And he invites us, "Come to me, take up my yoke." And if we accept that invitation, if we put on the other part of the yoke, if we take up that work with Jesus, we enter into this deep relationship with him. We enter into community with Jesus, who, as we know, is bound perfectly to the Father. We experience the joy of that deep relationship with the Father by entering a relationship with Jesus. So it is not just us pulling and persevering in life, but we're bound side by side with Christ, who is living with us. So Jesus is not promising a perfect like ending or cessation of all of our troubles in life. But what he is promising is a new life, truly a new life in his company that he gives us from God the Father, who is the author of life, who is life. He offers us this new life. He offers us a share in that joyful relationship he has with the Father. But this is not just even a spiritual life. This is life, a true life, because Christ responds to all the needs of our humanity, all the deep and longing desires of our heart are fulfilled in Christ. Our desire for purpose in life, our desire for meaning, our desire for love, our desire for belonging, all of it is fulfilled in Christ. And so part of the burden that he lifts off of us is the burden we kind of place on ourselves when we try to find that fulfillment. We try to find happiness and love in things that are not him, in things that cannot possibly do what we want them to do. To put our infinite desire and our hope into something that can't do it. So part of that burden that he lifts is being the one who can truly fulfill those desires of our humanity. And then in everything we do, in every encounter of our daily life, and everything that happens to us, we know that God is with us. We know that it somehow fits into God's divine providence, that he's working good out of it. And that everything we do is a co-work with Jesus. We're yoked together, you might say, living our lives, and God is with us. God is working out salvation alongside of us. God is present in everything you do. He's present here. God is at work here, and we experience him in everything then that way. We experience him, that new life, that relationship with the Father, in everything that we do. To give an example, I thought of Father Walter Chizik. Father Walter was a Jesuit priest who was ordained in the mid-1930s. And he was teaching in the seminary in 1939 in Poland, at the same time that Hitler started to invade Poland, and then the Russians came from the east invading Poland. And so he ended up being within Russian-occupied territory. Now, it was Father Walter's desire all along in seminary to be a missionary to the Russians because the Soviets had outlawed religion. So he wanted to go and be Christ to them. And so then the Russians came to him. And he signed up for... to be a manual laborer in Russia, go undercover. He took on a false identity to go be a laborer in Russia. And he did that. And he was working for about a year, saying mass for people, teaching the children how to read and write and their... the faith, but then they found him out, and they captured him, and they put him in Lubyanka prison, which was notorious for being a terrible prison. He was tortured for a long time because they thought he was a Vatican spy, because they found out he was this American priest with a false identity, and so they tortured him for a year he held out. He held to the truth. He would not say that he was a spy, but after a year of torture, they broke him, and he wrote confessional that he was this Vatican spy and all this conspiracy. But when that happened, he realized that that whole time that he had been enduring all of that, he was relying on himself. He thought that he was strong enough. He had been trained as a Jesuit missionary. He could do it, that he was strong enough to withstand all the problems or all the torture and the confinement. And he realized in that moment that he couldn't do it. He couldn't endure it. But he knew, drawing on his training, he finally surrendered himself, truly surrendered his life to God. He knew, he made the commitment to know that everything that he would experience, that God was with him, that somehow, in God's providence, God was at work, that God was working good out of these terrible situations, that God was with him, that he could experience God in those terrible situations. So he spent a total of 5 years in this prison, many of his years in solitary confinement. Then he was sentenced with 15 years of manual labor in the Gulag in Siberia, which was terrible conditions. The winter there gets below 30. They don't really give him the clothes to deal with it. He was a lumberjack, a coal miner, a construction worker. Terrible conditions, lots of sickness, little food for 15 years. But it wasn't like he was just manning up and getting through it. He relied on Christ. And that actually deepened his faith, that he was on a trajectory in just this terrible pit, you know, of life, being in the prison camp. But his faith increased. And he had the courage then to act as a priest, even though he knew if they found out that worse things could happen to him. So he still celebrated Mass. He still heard confessions. He put on retreats. Then when he finished his time, he was put on essentially house arrest in a small town in Siberia. And he continued the work, knowing that if, again, he was caught, he'd be sent back for more manual labor. But he started multiple parishes. He said Mass multiple times every Sunday, and he'd travel around hearing confessions. He was not afraid, because he knew God was at work, and he had completely surrendered his life to him. And whatever the consequences, God is with him. It's truly amazing. And then, after 22 years of imprisonment in Russia, he was returned to the United States. And the man that came back was a joyful and zealous priest. He was not broken by all of this terrible treatment. It was just a part of God's will. Truly amazing. He had taken on Christ's yoke, and it lightened his burdens, even though he was still suffering a great deal. And so today, Jesus invites us to that same trustful surrender, to entrust our lives to him, to trust in his providence, to trust that the yoke truly is easy and the burden light. And so he invites us, come, come to me, take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden truly is light.